I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about where does the police brutality death money come from, and dealt with the millions, multiple millions of dollars in settlements that police organizations around the country pay out after they murder black men and women, and how this money is it's spent and used and actually putting the cities in debt for 10, 20, 30 years into the future. And how the simplest fix to that is stop killing black people and you won't have to pay any settlements. So get on over to Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can check that out also at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. And you can also find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared, and then also at Ferocious Talk on Twitter. And quickly want to shout out Black Lives Matter. Please keep doing what you're doing. It is important and needed. And anything that's going to send a message that black life matters is important, because until black life matters, there's no such thing as all lives matter. So that's important. And if anybody can't get behind that, you are part of the problem. Whether you're black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever, you can't get behind that, you are part of the problem and you need to get over yourself. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And it is the world immune to empathy for black people? Is the world immune to empathy for black people? Now, I did a podcast a few months ago, and it was, has America normalized the brutality of black people? Which, in my opinion, it has. And that is the sort of the crux of this particular podcast, because I actually started thinking, could this epidemic, this sickness in the mind, because it is a mental illness, could the entire world be so desensitized about the violence against black people that they literally don't have the emotional capacity or ability to care or to be empathetic? And if it's yes, which I believe it is, why and what caused it? Well, we can go back to various points in history that contributed to this mentality. But one point in history struck me as I was doing research for this particular podcast. And I want to talk about King Leopold II of Belgium. And some of you may have heard of this person. Others, you can Google it and familiarize yourself. But King Leopold II of Belgium, he ruled from 1865, which ironically was the year of the Emancipation Proclamation in the U.S. But anyway, he ruled from 1865 to 1909. And basically, he murdered, we'll call this mass genocide, of 10 million Africans. And in many ways, the way he treated them, he would cut off their hands, right, as a form of punishment if they did not return at the end of the day with the level of diamonds or resources that they were expected to come back with at the end of the day. It was a tax, it was a penalty. So I want to explore King Leopold and his history as we continue, still sort of adding to what caused the world to become immune to this, to the pain for black people. So Leopold believed that in order for Belgium to be successful, the country must turn its attention towards colonization. In short, just basically white people coming in and taking over black people. That's really colonization. So in a letter that the king sent to his brother in 1888, Leopold wrote, The country must be strong, prosperous, and have colonies of her own. Leopold began colonizing countries even before he was king, as a private citizen. Wow. He began the colonization process of the Congo, which is in Africa, in 1876 by organizing a private holding company. He disguised the company as an international association under the name of International African Society. Get that. He created an organization and disguised it as something that sounds like it was friendly to Africans, only for it to become the worst possible organization for Africans. Now, he hired a guy, his name was Henry Stanley, in 1878 with the sole purpose to explore colony in the region of the Congo. So mind you, black people, Africans, minding our own business, which we always do, doing our own thing in the most plentiful, resourceful continent on the planet. And then you have these white men conspiring. So to continue, following several diplomatic maneuvers, Leopold finally established the Congo Free State in 1885. Okay, so the country was 76 times larger than Belgium at that time, 76 times larger. So Leopold used Congo for its, like most white invasions, its natural resources, exploiting the resources themselves, and making the people of the Congo pay enormous taxes to Belgium. Leopold started exporting ivory, but since he did not get the expected results, he transferred to rubber plants. Leopold has put the entire state of Congo, or of the Congo, under his slavery. And some people wonder, well, how did that happen? Well, a lot of this came through weapons, military. You know, the people of the Congo, they didn't have the ability to create guns, right, to fight back. They had to use what they had at the time. Spears, shields, and whatever other weapons they could, but they didn't have guns. So he was not alone in this, as the king had his soldiers and generals to conduct orders and enforce laws in the state. Now, according to some estimates, he killed, murdered, and then cannibalized between 10 and 15 million people, Africans, in modern countries. Now, those numbers will fall under the topic of genocide. You know, to me, he was the first Hitler, okay, the first one. However, even the Wikipedia page for the history of genocides, get this, they never state that this was a genocide under Leopold. They never state it. The reason is simple. Belgium had so much profit and benefits from his ruling over the Congo that the name Leopold is never mentioned as a sadist, okay, conqueror, or a dictator, which is what he is. Leopold enforces his ruling with camps, executions, torture, and molesting the people of the Congo. He also had a private army in the country. Now, this man is celebrated in Europe. I want to just understand this. This monster, King Leopold II, is celebrated in Europe, and I mean Belgium to be exact. Now, be warned, there's going to be some language in what I'm about to read, all right, just to prepare you, because I want to be very, very upfront about the brutality, and you need to have an accurate depiction of what this person did. So to get a better understanding of King Leopold II and his thoughts, we distinguish some of the quotes he used himself during a speech he did in 1883. Now, in the speech, Leopold tried to explain to loyal patriots in Belgium that what they do in Congo is rightful. So he just exacted his own influence and force. And what they were doing was rightful, and that they need to evangelize the niggers. Okay? And here's some more quotes from that speech. Teach the niggers to forget their heroes and to adore only ours. Never present a chair to a black that comes to visit you. Don't give him more than one cigarette. Never invite him for dinner, even if he gives you a chicken every time you arrive at his house. Here's some more. They know that to kill, to sleep with someone else's wife, to lie, and to insult is bad. Have courage to admit it. You're not going to teach them what they already know. Here's another quote. Your action will be directed essentially to the younger ones, for they won't revolt when the recommendation of the priest is contradictory to their parents' teachings. The children have to learn, all right? And that is to obey what the missionary recommends, who is the father of their soul. Now, you might singularly insist on their total submission and obedience. Avoid developing the spirits in the schools. Teach students to read and not to reason. Man, I'm reading this and it's like reminding me totally of the Willie Lynch letter before the Willie Lynch letter, but I'll continue. This one is also shocking. Evangelize the niggers so that they stay forever in submission to the white colonialists, so they never revolt against the restraints that they are undergoing. Recite every day, and this is sick right here. Happy are those who are weeping because the kingdom of God is for them. How they're using religion, right? And this is partly why some people have issues with organized religion, because it was used to enslave, subdue, and manipulate large populations of Black people. Now, the world has made it its mission to humiliate and overtake Black people for hundreds of years. Now, the irony is, as big and plentiful as Africa is as a continent, and with its many countries, none of them have left the continent to attempt to take over other countries around the world. Only white-dominated countries like Europe and America have done that. So what does that say about the mentality of violence and where the majority of it comes from? I personally believe that the seed of mental illness of hate has been transplanted into the minds of the dominant culture, and they have knowingly or unknowingly allowed it to grow and become normal to view Black pain as the way of the world. And let me tell you, it isn't. Black pain and the hands of at the hands of white people is not normal. It's sick, twisted, and there will be a day of reckoning where the oppressed will eventually decide that enough is enough. Trust me, it's just a matter of time. And let's be honest, the seed of hate was also planted in Blacks or African Americans too. Thus, the self-hate by not working together or watching from the sidelines as Black people are slaughtered or killed by law enforcement and saying and doing nothing because they want to protect their business interests or relationships with corporate America. There's a collective mentality of do whatever you want to Black people, okay? That's fine. They deserve it as long as my wealth and social status in society is protected. It's sick, disgusting, and again, to me, it's a form of mental illness. Mental illness is not the image of someone wearing a straitjacket, locked in a padded room, surrounded by doctors in lab coats. Mental illness is your coworker, dressed just like you, your neighbor that lives next door, or your family or friends that hear about these horrible tragedies of police murder of Black people, and their reaction is, well, they probably did something to deserve to be shot 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 times. And I will use the puppy or baby analogy, since that evokes immediate sympathy amongst white people in particular. You know, if I shot a baby or a puppy 20, 30, 40 times, Sean Bell, right? 50 or 60 times, I would be labeled a monster, worse than Hitler. But law enforcement does not get that same label by society. And the question is, why? They act like animals, savages, monsters. When you got 30 police officers jumping on top of a innocent black person, kicking, stomping, punching, scratching, humiliating. That's not protecting and serving. That's savagery. When someone is shot 50 times for doing nothing except being black. So, if you're listening to this podcast and you have never found yourself outraged by these police murders, you are suffering from a form of mental illness and you need to seek immediate help. Immediately. It has to stop. And it starts with being constantly reminded that what you're engaging in and supporting through your silence is contributing to the mass murder and, in my opinion, genocide of black people in America by law enforcement. Learn how to empathize, sympathize, and do something about it. Speak up. Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some great food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.